Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
I explained to him that we've known for many years, since the 1990s, that when a patient goes from having poor control of their diabetes to having much better control of their diabetes, their diabetic eye disease gets worse.
Today, Drs. Modi and Zadania join the podcast to discuss GLP-1s and the retinal patient, what every eye care professional should know, in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Yasha Modi. I'm an associate professor of ophthalmology at NYU Langone, specialist in retinal disease and uveitis.
And I'm Vaidhi Didanya, program director of the Retina Fellowship and associate professor of ophthalmology also at NYU Langone Health in New York City.
Today we will discuss GLP-1 receptor agonists and the retina patient. As eye care professionals, we don't prescribe them, but our patients are using them even if we don't know it. Ready to get started, Vaidhi?
Absolutely, Yasha.
Can you begin by giving us a bit of a background on GLP-1s? Why do we use them? How do they work?
So these medications are widely prescribed for type 2 diabetes and obesity. Some common agents that we know patients are on are semaglutide, liraglutide, tirzepatide, and dulaglutide. So we may hear patients talk about Trulicity, Mounjaro, Ozempic, and Wegovy. These medications are often prescribed to patients for conditions such as diabetes as well as obesity, but some patients can be on them even without our knowledge from direct-to-consumer telehealth platforms or telehealth providers.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. How do these medications actually work?
So they work such, GLP stands for glucagon-like peptide. And these medications, what they allow patients to do is it increases the insulin secretion as well as suppresses their glucagon. So when patients eat food, when they're not on these medications, their gut releases this GLP and that then allows them to release insulin and lower their blood sugars. This medication does that for them without even ingesting food. It also delays gastric emptying and increases their satiety so that they eat less frequently and a smaller amount.
Yeah, and you know, the really major benefit as a monotherapy is that they don't cause hypoglycemic episodes, which is really valuable. So, you know, in terms of benefits for patients, we see weight loss, we get dramatic reductions in hemoglobin A1C, there's potential cardiovascular benefits, renovascular benefits, and then sometimes we even see unexpected benefits that even have to do with addiction, that it could be smoking, alcohol addiction. What are some of the side effects? Now, we've talked a little bit about the positives. What are the drawbacks of these medications?
Yeah, I've had some patients come in and complain of nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. They can sometimes have increased risk of cholestasis or cholecystitis. These patients can often be quite uncomfortable on them.
So let's talk about GLP-1 agonists and specifically retinal disease. You know, when these medications first came out, there was a study called the SUSTAIN 6 study. And what this study showed was that there was an increased risk of retinopathy. And so the hazard ratio for diabetic retinopathy worsening wasn't particularly high. It was about 1.7, but there was a particular signal in patients who already had baseline retinopathy and those who were experiencing rapid reductions in hemoglobin A1C. So this obviously raises the question as to whether or not these medications are associated with worsening of diabetic retinopathy. So what does the data support in this?
So the data seems to support that it's the rapid glucose improvement that results in this worsening of diabetic retinopathy that we see. When patients come in, especially those concerned that they have been told that their diabetic eye disease may get worse when they start these medications, I explained to them that we've known for many years, since the 1990s, that when a patient goes from having poor control of their diabetes to having much better control of their diabetes, their diabetic eye disease gets worse. A portion of that is likely due to the fact that they're getting such rapid control, but another portion of that is because there is a delay in response. These patients have been poorly controlled for so long that they are going to have worsening of their eye disease, and that just a short period of time and within which they start to control their sugars does not necessarily mean their eyes are going to respond immediately.
And interestingly, when we think about insulin use and data from the 1990s, we saw that patients who had very high hemoglobin A1Cs, when they started insulin, they had rapid worsening of their diabetic retinopathy. So this is not a feature that is necessarily unique to GLP-1 agonists. So how do you make sense of this? It seems to me like there's a new study popping up every day. You know, can you summarize a couple of these studies and sort of what the sort of top line data looks like?
So the data on this is mixed. There are some meta-analyses and other data that show that maybe patients on GLP-1 agonists have significant worsening in diabetic retinopathy. And then there are studies that do not demonstrate this risk. At this point, when I counsel my patients, I explain to them that we have to balance what benefit they're getting from taking this medication versus that risk of worsening, or potential worsening, rather. So I also want to discuss another recent retrospective study that was published in Ophthalmology in 2025, and they used the Trinetics database, and what they found was that GLP-1 users had lower incidence of non-exudative AMD, exudative AMD, and primary open-angle glaucoma compared to users of insulin, metformin, and statins. So the signal on the study, while it was relatively small, it was significant. And what this really allows us to do now is we now have something to base future studies off of, to think about, and to counsel our patients. So there was no significant difference in these studies in cataracts or ocular hypertension, but this potential anti-inflammatory and neuroprotective mechanism that these studies have demonstrated, which, albeit are association studies, they do allow us to better understand how we can help our patients with other conditions as well.
Yeah, so, you know, it sort of seems like on one hand, you may get short-term worsening of diabetic retinopathy from rapid improvement in blood glucose control. But on the other hand, there may be all these other anti-inflammatory benefits that are yet to be discovered. It's really important to note that when we're talking about these large population-based studies, these are correlative, but I completely agree with you that this sort of opens up a lot of food for thought about the unintended benefits relative to the risks of these medications. You know, there was also one other thing I'd want to bring up, which is that with GLP-1 agonists, there was an increased signal of NAION. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So that's a great point. There was a study out of Mass Eye and Ear that touched upon this topic, and it was a retrospective study. They did find that while the risk may be higher for NAION, this is correlative. And so when we think about these patients, we also have to take into consideration that they have other comorbidities. So yes, these patients in the study did have a higher risk of NAION, but they have other risk factors, maybe a disc at risk, high blood pressure, or other morbidities that can contribute to their overall risk of NAION.
Yeah, I think like everything, you have to weigh the benefits of these medications relative to the risk. And I think what we're consistently finding is that these medications are revolutionary for a lot of our diabetic patients, particularly those with severe microvascular and macrovascular disease. So, Vedi, one of the things that I find really interesting is that sometimes it will be at the very end of the encounter when somebody tells me, oh, by the way, I'm on Ozempic. So is this something that you're actively asking patients about?
I am. Whenever I have a diabetic come in, or even a pre-diabetic come in, I ask them if they're on any of these medications. And many times they tell me yes or no, but I'm thinking about starting this medication and I've talked to my doctor about it.
And how does this alter your decision-making once you know that they're on this medication?
So I explain to them that the reason it changes or affects what our next steps are is because if they've been poorly controlled or had difficulty controlling their sugars, being on this medication can often allow them to control their sugars better, and I want to monitor them more closely because of this risk that we talked about earlier of worsening diabetic eye disease with better glycemic control.
And the other thing is really to reach out to their primary care physician or their endocrinologist who's managing their diabetes so that we can discuss that, yes, there may be this sort of short-term worsening where we can follow them a little bit closer, but the long-term benefits of these medications drastically outweigh the short-term risk.
Yeah, and that's a conversation that we have with the patients as well to kind of ease their nerves on any concerns they have about how this might affect their eyes.
This has been a great discussion, Vedi. Thanks for joining me today for this conversation on GLP-1 agonists and the potential impact it has on retinal disease.
My pleasure, Yasha. This has been great.
And thank you for joining us today.
And that's today's special spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PeerDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review in your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial at PeerDirect.com. Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, or TuneIn. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Modi and Dhananya. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine. Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.